Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess this evening for the Higher Dimensions. And tonight, we have a special guest, a dear friend of mine, and someone who also is probably known to those of you who listen to BBS Radio on a regular basis, Eva Herr. Good evening, Eva. How are you?
I'm great, Phyllis. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you know, it's always a joy and a pleasure to talk to you and have you on. And I'm really not sure what we're going to talk about tonight, but you know something? It doesn't matter because we always manage to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was wondering what we were going to talk about.
Pardon?
I was wondering what we were going to talk about.
Well, we can talk about, how about this mind over matter? I was reading the information you sent me and the effect of your consciousness, and it seems to me like you've been using that in your own life and changing your life and the course of it and bringing into your life what you need.
Oh, my God, Phyllis, I don't know what I would do without it, I tell you what.
Okay, you know, can you speak up a little, honey?
I'll try.
I'm quiet.
I have that same problem on my show.
Yes, I know. Go ahead.
You know, I don't know what I would do without that consciousness position that I've taken. Anybody that knows me knows that I've had extreme contractions and expansions over the last 20 years as consciousness has been brought into my life. Whether I knew what was going on or not, it was still happening. Something recently happened in my life back in November that ordinarily would have been a tremendous effort for me to maintain the observation perspective. But this time I said, you know what, I'm not going to let it make me crash.
Right.
I'm going to walk my talk, and I'm going to stand back, and I'm going to observe it from a third-party perspective.
Uh-huh.
It was something, you know, I don't want to go into my personal stuff on
That's
the radio.
That's okay.
But it was something that was would probably have put most anybody that experienced it on their face, on the pavement.
And I agree with you.
You know what it is. But, yes. Well, I just tell people, you know, my husband just left us.
Yeah.
Me and the kids, he just left us. He went back to South Africa in November and said, I'll be back home in 2 weeks, and he never came back.
And so, you know, can't reach him, I'll bet.
Ordinarily, you know, that would strike somebody down, but this time I just went, you know, because I wasn't working or anything, you know, I just do my consciousness work. That's all I do is write and practice that. So I thought, you know what, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm going to stand back, and I'm going to observe it from a third-party perspective. I'm going to see if what I've really been preaching to all these people all these years really works. So, and my kids, you know, they lecture me all the time. You know, Mom, you say that if you will do this, it'll change your life. If you'll stand back and be in the moment, is what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So I did it, and I didn't get afraid. I didn't get in a crisis position. And within a short period of time. I always had the money that I needed right when I needed it. And within a short period of time, I got a job making a great salary, 10 minutes from my house. And it's, you know, it's in litigation, so normally we work like 8 to 6 or 7. But I looked up on this job where we work 8 to 4. I mean, it was just, it couldn't be better what happened when I maintained a server position this time.
Well, I guess the universe was waiting for you to be in a position where it could support you and provide you with the impetus. And it's called closing a door and allowing a new one to come open.
Yeah, and I think maybe it may have used me as an example, you know, because I'm so out there and talking about this.
Uh-huh.
It gives other people a chance to see that it really does work.
Well, you know, it's called walking your walk and talking your talk. I've had some of that same thing, too, as you know me. And I have been utilizing positive thinking, okay? Being in the moment, as you say, being in the now, utilizing positive energy. I've used breath work. I don't know if you've heard of Joseph Weed, but he was a Rosicrucian, and I have books going back to the 70s that he wrote, and I found them again. And by going into the moment, as we say, by honoring and doing all of these things, including breath work, visualization, Jacqueline Adalna's 15-minute miracle concepts, which, by the way, all of this is the same thing, only said different ways.
That's right.
Okay? And it's whichever way suddenly comes through to our consciousness, because we are so many diverse, wonderful human beings that not the same words just sort of don't apply to every, or we don't all see them the same way. And the wonderful thing about our lives and our ability to have the printed word and to have the communication we do is we are able then to have various ways of having this information put to us and brought to our attention time after time in a wonderful, respectful way. And when we don't listen, we get a 2x4 applied firmly over our heads.
That's true. I mean, you know, I've interviewed dozens of scientists on my show about what really happens with consciousness. And it's scientists that are awake to what's going on. And every one of them says that there will always be contractions and expansions of consciousness. And just because we're in a moment of bliss right now doesn't mean that we're always going to stay there.
Exactly.
And we don't have complete free will over not allowing another dark night of the soul to come back in, because they're going to come back. In fact, a very great physicist named Elmer Green said to me, who he started ICSEM, the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energies and Energy Medicine.
Uh-huh.
He's my mentor, or one of them, and I said to him one time, Elmer, if I really do try to walk my talk, and I really do understand intention, and I'm utilizing that to the best of my ability, why do I have such great contractions in my life like this?
Uh-huh.
Said, Eva, if you didn't have a lot of problems in your life,
right,
that came and went, and usually they last for about 2 years in time, not just with me, but with anybody.
Right,
if
right.
You know, you start watching them, and it ebbs for about
cyclical.
2 years and flows, yes, for about 2 years. And he said, if you didn't have that, I'd tell you that you weren't on an accelerated spiritual path.
That's right.
Because the worse your problems are, the more advanced your consciousness is, typically, because it's presenting that thing that gives you the opportunity to grow the most.
Exactly. Without it, we would not grow. We would stagnate. And sometimes I understand. I understand the challenges of this, and part of the beauty is it's a growth experience. You know, and there are times when I grouse about it too, you know, sort of like, Lord, do you think you could let other people love you a little bit more for a while and let me off the fat hook on this one?
Well, you know, the goal here, and this is the first time in my life I was able to do this. The goal is when you get in those spots like that.
Yep.
Is to simply step back and observe it.
Right.
Oh, a shit thing happened in my life today.
Uh-huh.
My husband just abandoned me and my children. Okay. You know,
uh-huh.
And literally say that, because you can't do anything about it anyway.
Right.
You know, it is what it is, and nothing
uh-huh.
you can do, because we don't have free will. You know, if we'd had free will, then I certainly wouldn't have allowed that to happen.
Well, but not really. He has free will, too. We have to all realize that. But I think also it was time for you to recognize and realize the next step. And he was kind enough in his own way to understand this. And he allowed himself to step aside so that you could facilitate your growth and move on with your journey in life. And
yeah.
For that reason,
it was an opportunity to see if I could stay in the moment.
Yes. And he did you a favor, and your children, too.
Yeah, he did.
And unconsciously, he's done himself a favor, because he's allowed everybody to move on. And this is so very, very important in life, because so many people in these circumstances have a tendency to hang on with two little fists, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to let go. They don't want to move on. And the only way you can grow is by allowing yourself to release and accepting with thanks and gratitude the lessons you've been given. And it's really hard, and sometimes it takes a long time in the now to realize that what has been done has been a gift of immeasurable preciousness. And I know that sounds strange, but as I look back after 15, 20 years of some of this nonsense in my life, I am really can say inside my own being, thank you for allowing me to grow, because otherwise I would not have.
Yeah, Fred Allen Wolf said to me one time, if you're in the middle of a dark night of the soul,
yes,
say thank God, because it means bliss is around the corner.
Well, yeah, it means the dawn is coming its way. I agree.
You know,
I agree. Well, things have been going well for me, too. I'm trying out something new that I really don't want to talk about. It's a job, but meanwhile, I'm getting ready to open a hypnotherapy clinic, and I'm in D.C., and I've just put in the first advertisement, and I'm excited to see how well it does.
Well, that's wonderful. I hope it proves to be most successful for you.
Oh, I have every intention that it shall. And part of it is, where I am now, I am actually learning to deal with personalities outside of the medical field. For so many, many years, I've been in the field of medicine, which is really a very highly spiritual or intent field. And when I say intent, the spiritual intent, because most people in the healing fields are highly spiritual people. They are there for the good.
You mean most people in any medical field or just in alternative medicine?
Or what?
In any medical field or in alternative medicine?
Both. Mm. Both. Yes, good evening. You're
Hello.
Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. May I help you?
Hi, this is Kendra.
Cecilia?
Kendra, I think she's
Kendra,
Kendra,
okay. Hello, Kendra. How may we help you?
Well, I heard you guys talking about, you know, things happen for a reason, and it's so weird because I just turned on the radio to hear, you know, to ask a question about something that's happened, and I wanted to know the reason, so it's kind of ironic. And,
okay.
Like, I had, like, this friend, and I, like, did something that was really mean, but at the time I didn't mean it to be mean, but he took it very personally.
Okay.
And I just, I don't know, like, exactly what's going to happen from it. Like, I can't understand, like, why he would take, like, I guess everyone took it that way. Like, what I said was really wrong. They didn't see that I did have good intentions. And
okay.
I can't understand.
Could you speak up a little bit? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, like, I said something, and everyone, including his friends, took it as I said it a different way.
Okay,
like,
they took it in a way differently than you meant it.
Yeah, like, I meant good intentions, but they saw bad intentions in what I did, and I'm wondering, what's the lesson of this when I had good intentions?
Who's
okay.
your question directed to?
Either one of us?
Either one of us.
Well, I'm, since
or
she's
you.
My guest, I'm going to let her go first. Go ahead, Eva.
Well, you know, linguistics is a problem in everything that is. It's one of the biggest problems in consciousness today is the understanding and interpretation of words. It means, you know, some words mean one thing to one person and another thing to another word person. So what you have to do to keep this from happening again is watch your body language when you do that. So now you've done it and you're stuck being in a position that you've got people upset and angry with you.
Yeah.
You've got two things to do here. Nothing and let it keep building, or simply go and say, I'm sorry. You know,
yeah.
Don't go into the whys, ifs, ands, or buts of why you're sorry, because it doesn't matter. What does matter is that you're sorry that you hurt the people.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to know. But remember, for the rest of your life, there's always going to be linguistic problems in everything, work and home and
uh-huh.
play and telephone conversations. And, you know, watch your body language when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, keep it soft and keep your arms hanging side down beside you instead of going on with your arms like I do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and use a tone of voice that you would want spoken to you. And then the words themselves so much won't matter because your body language will convey what you're trying to say. Does
uh-huh.
that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It just is kind of like,
maybe it's a lesson in humility for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I'm like, I meant good intentions, and everyone took it like totally the opposite way, and it just like.
Did you have judgment attached to it?
Yep, that's a possibility.
Were you using judgment?
Well, see, that's something that I did get in trouble for, because I did get a little out of hand with it, and I realized that I did get out of hand with it, and I tried to say sorry, but it was like, he's like, well, I accept, but blah, 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 and I feel like it's not over, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when things like that happen, it's not just your lesson, it's her lesson, too. And she also
absolutely
has to make the choice of whether or not she's going to have enough integrity to forgive you. And if
okay.
she doesn't, there's nothing you can do about it except stand back, observe, and say, accept it, that's where it is. Accept it. And
yeah.
stay with humility, and, you know, you don't have to keep begging and being a martyr. Once you truly
oh, yeah.
ask for forgiveness, you know, it's done, and it's up to her to do her part and do it, too.
Okay. There's always a lesson that's set up there. I can equate with that, because I said something in a group gathering. If I hadn't had quite the wine I did, I probably would have said it was good grace. But I had meant it as a compliment and as really of, I understand where you're coming from. And people took it wrong, and there was an instant defense. And you can sit and chew on this and worry about it, but it doesn't do any good. All it does is create an energy that keeps you stuck in that moment. And there's a time you just got to just release it and let it go and let it be. And that's the best thing that we can tell you, is that you have learned a lesson. You can examine yourself more carefully in the future and be in the now. And again, when she says body language, you know, when you fold your arms in front of you, that's very defensive. And people will react to that. Hands loosely held down by the side are good. Delivered with a smile is also good. And also, an instant response of, if you see somebody's taking it wrong, say, no, you know.
Yeah.
Clarify it immediately if you can. And if not, just let them chew on it for a few minutes and say, perhaps I've worded it incorrectly. Again, you don't want to crawl, because, again, that's not good either.
Okay.
You both have to leave this with dignity. Does that
okay.
make sense?
Yeah.
And if you can't reach her or speak to her face-to-face now, then do so mentally. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it does make sense to me, and I've tried and did end up talking to Megan, like,
yeah.
over the phone, but and we kind of did say our sorries, but I could still feel it, like, that it's not over, and that's what's making it hard to let go. Because I can like, almost, like, you can feel the tension in the air, kind of thing.
Well, you've done your part, then. You've apologized.
Yeah.
All you can do is go forward and just do so with grace and ease. And if she is the one that's going to hang on to it, this is something that she's going to have to work through and that she's going to have to suffer through, because whenever you do this, you cause illness in your own being. Am I, in some form or other, am I correct?
Yeah.
Eva?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, again, she's been given a lesson to learn, as have you. And the two of you can, you've learned yours, and now move forward with grace
okay.
and ease. And if she gets stuck in it, well, just send her a some blessing,
yeah.
give her good wishes, and move on.
Stop thinking about it.
Okay.
You're feeding it by thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Good luck, honey.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Did we answer your question for you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much, dear.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Well, how nice of you to call in. We're so glad that you did. And anyone else who wants to call in and participate, this is what we're here for in discussing this, because what we want to do is show real-life applications of these philosophies in one's life. And, you know, they do work. And sometimes you get in a blue funk, as I call it, or you get stuck in a cycle, and you're like a something in a cage, and you just don't want to do that. You follow? So the thing to do is find different sources and move forward with them. I'm sorry about the interference of a phone call. It shouldn't be, but that's what happens sometimes.
That's all right.
on another note, things are going very, very well for you. And I'm assuming that you have some other things that are going as well. From what I was reading, you are with some institute, and you had some questions there that were really interesting. And I was, you know, going over them a second time to become more familiar with them regarding the manifest of intention and the potential to change possibility and probability. Is that correct?
What I've been doing is, you know, I'm really, I'm not very woo-woo, you know. I'm really.
Could you speak up a little bit, honey? I'm sorry.
I'm not very woo-woo. I'm a real science-based person.
Yep.
And so what I've been doing is, my goal is to help bridge the gap between science and religion, I guess, or science, quantum mechanics, and conventional science, I guess is a better way to put it, because we are, throughout our lifetimes, conditioned by conventional science since the first time we step into a school. And I was in a store one day, and I, for whatever reason, I was at the grocery store, and I was talking to the man behind me who turned out to be a doctor, and I said, well, what is your definition of consciousness? We were talking about consciousness. And he looked at me like I was stupid and said, well, it's the opposite of being in a coma.
What?
And I went,
well, that's a traditional medicine, okay.
Is that all? And he said, well, what else is there? So at that moment, I realized, you know, that people who travel a traditional path of religion, I guess a traditional path of religion, they don't always understand what we mean by the phrase consciousness. They don't realize that there's much more attached to that word than just being awake or asleep or dead or alive. So I started trying to talk to every scientist from around the world that had a respectable position, you know, that had spent his life researching and had quantifiable results.
Mm-hmm.
And I started asking them, what is your definition of consciousness? What is your definition of mind? Do you think the brain thinks? Or do you think the mind thinks? What do you believe to be the source of intentionality? What do you believe to be the source of creativity? How do you think that mind gets the information to the brain? Because the majority of the all agreed that we were binary beings and that our brain was simply an organ.
Right.
And that it operated much like a computer and that consciousness was the software that ran it. And what pretty much is overall agreed, except by maybe the material scientists that I interviewed, which there were maybe one, maybe two, but I think only one, was that consciousness came to us in frequencies, and there's a problem with the word frequencies because, you know, that has a lot of meaning too, but what I mean by frequencies is, and I don't know how to best describe this because I don't have the language that a physicist has, but the oscillation and the voltage of what's going on with our electromagnetic field.
Right.
And we think that the source of intention, which would be the consciousness of all there is, places out an intention. And the brain interprets it through pulses of electromagnetic energy and the voltage that's behind it. So, for example, if our field went rat-a-tat-tat, like an electrical cord, you know, if the energy surged through the electrical cord going in surges, like rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat-tat, that particular surge sequence might, for example, mean that you have kidney disease.
Right,
or
I agree.
Or it might mean that you when you get older, will be an axe murderer, or you may be president. Whatever that specific sequence is, each has its own definition, like the word in a dictionary.
Right.
And so most all of the people also thought that intentionality was deep below the zero-point field. There's a lot of confusion that's going on right now about the zero-point field, and I've been actually talking to Bill Tiller and Henry Stapp about this recently. I know most people know Bill, but Henry's kind of quiet behind the scenes physicist who's got a new book coming out, and I'm looking for it right now on my computer because I'm reading it right now, and I have to say that this book has blown my mind. It's coming out probably right now or in the next few weeks, and it's called The Mindful Universe, Quantum Mechanics and the Participating Observer. So everybody watch that. He'll be on my show this weekend if anybody wants to hear about it. But Henry's, I've heard through the grapevine that he's probably going to get a Nobel Prize sometime in the next decade for his
book. Isn't that wonderful?
You know, I don't know. That's just what somebody told me in the grapevine. But anyway, what a lot of them think is that it bubbles up somehow from way down deep below the zero-point field.
Uh-huh.
Something that I have been talking recently about is I kind of think that the zero-point field is the dividing line between for duality, because we know that on one side, below the zero-point field, is the vacuum, and there's nothing but pure black potential.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's nothing there but void and potential energy. And we know
uh-huh.
that on the upper side, or the other side of the zero-point field, where we reside in physical reality, there's light and mass.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
I think what we'll find one day is that that's the dividing point between for duality.
Uh-huh.
You know, which is a really interesting thing.
Okay.
And then a lot of the people, some of the people, it was interesting to see what they thought consciousness was. And these are, you know, scientists around the world. Some of them thought that consciousness was all there is. Some
huh.
of them thought that consciousness was just simply your awareness.
Pretty much it.
Well, it was different. Some of them thought it was being dead or alive.
Uh-huh.
Some of them
that's
thought
I mean.
It was being conscious of your surroundings.
Uh-huh.
Some of them thought it was being conscious of your surroundings plus aware that there was something else that contributed to causal effects in reality, but they didn't know what it was. So it was what I plan on doing is trying to put all of these interviews in one book. I've asked 20 questions to each one of these people, and it's been real interesting to see
uh-huh.
how I didn't get 20 answers.
Huh.
You know, I interviewed 30 people and 20 answers, so I ended up getting, you know, 600 answers to the
uh-huh.
same questions. So that's what I'm trying to do right now, if that
uh-huh.
makes any sense.
Well, yeah, I think that's fascinating because you come at it from a different angle in trying to bring the science and metaphysics, as I would call it, together. And the more we go along, the more we find that there is a very strong correlation. And again, we're talking about words, how we perceive words, and what they mean to us. And
Well, Amit Goswami said to me, when I first found out that I was getting all these different answers, I told Amit, and he went, oh, my God. You know, how can conventional science ever sit down at the same table and draw up a map of for quantum physics about what consciousness is? You know, how can we do that if we're not even on the same page about a particular, about this topic, and we don't know that we're not on the same page?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
I've always wondered about scientists, but that's okay.
I've met
a few brilliant people in my time.
You know, walk out on the street and ask a random person, what does consciousness mean to you?
Oh, you'll get as many answers as the number of people you ask, pretty much.
That's right, and the majority of them aren't going to be something to do with intention and causality. You know, it's going to be, most of them's going to be awake or asleep.
Right. That's
so anyway.
Very true. You know, and again, I find it fascinating because we are moving more and more into a place of consciousness in our lives where it is so vitally important to be aware and to be able to move in from one direction to another with this. The shifts that are coming that people are talking about, for me, it's been almost like seeing two sides of a face. I can see some people moving very smoothly and very deliberately, in some instances, towards the spiritual aspect. And I have seen still others. It's just, it's like it's on a different planet. Does that make sense?
The yin and the yang of physical reality, you know, the
yes.
duality aspect there. The
yes.
mass, you know, we are beings of subtle energies. You know,
right.
To the 0.001 of a hertz.
Uh-huh.
So the mass consciousness overall measures in very small units overall.
Uh-huh.
There are a few people, and actually Noetic Sciences is doing some research about this right now, about enlightenment and how it affects somebody and how it happens and what were they doing when it happened, because it's instantaneous when it happens to someone.
Uh-huh.
And for those few people go really fast, that they contribute to the entire mass consciousness. So it makes it edge along even when the the ones that aren't really awake have noticed yet. So they gradually come about due to the subtle energy aspect and the enlightenment experiences happening to the more evolved. And it's not a good or a bad thing, by the way. I mean, it's no different from being 70 or 7. You know, it just is what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you'd say that because that's a very, that's called kind of a morphic resonance, in a sense. Do you know what that is?
Morphic resonance? That's not what I associate morphic resonance with.
Okay. Well, perhaps I'm using a wrong term here again, talk about words, but you were talking about some people moving in consciousness and others then following along behind.
Well, you know, there are gradients in consciousness.
Right. But
like kindergarten and the 12th grade, you know, everybody is edging along, but suddenly one day you'll get a genius and they take off, and so it makes them have to teach the entire class a little bit more material.
Yes, that's what I call morphic resonance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because it, and I was going to use the example of if you teach a monkey something on one side of the world within 6 months.
Now that's what I associated with it. But
yeah,
that other was a little bit different to me.
Mm-hmm. It's for me the theoretical concept is still the same. In
yeah,
other words, you can do that with students in a class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I find so fascinating, and the ability to help people to grow because of the growth of a few people, and yet we're having more and more people coming into this unit, children, I should say, coming in. And spreading their wings. I remember when I had my first two children, I thought how intelligent they were and bright they were. And there was about like a 14 and 17 year difference between my first two children and my last child. Let me tell you, the last child was smarter than the average bear. She knew more at an earlier age. It was as though she had absorbed all of that her brother and sister had gone through, and she was just starting at a higher beginning point, shall we say, because she didn't have to go through some of the learning curves they did. It was like that was she already had that knowledge programmed in her.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry?
It's fascinating. I find it absolutely fascinating, and I've always found it fascinating, and I think it's a wonderful way to get children to learn more by putting brighter classes together and
yeah.
then learning the material and then a week or so later having the less swift children, shall we say, or those who are more deliberate in their learning take the same lessons. They do learn faster.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I did want to talk about tonight was...
Go ahead.
I want to move back to intention for a few minutes and the
sure.
power of thought. You know, the movie The Secret and What the Bleep has come out.
Yeah, I've seen them both.
Teaching people the power of intention, but it leaves out something.
Uh-huh.
And I feel very strongly about this. And
okay, go ahead.
To some of my other scientist friends, the fact that we don't have complete free will. I mean, many people will argue. Well, first of all, let me back up a minute. When you tell somebody the power of intention, I watch this struggling with some of my clients struggling. They try and try and try, and they think and they think and they think, and they place intent and place it and place it, you know, and nothing happens. Well, two things that I think is important to remember here. First of all, we are not driving the car, because some people get hopeless when it doesn't happen and they think that it doesn't work. Well, it does work, but like I said earlier, we are spiritual beings that are of subtle energy. When Robert John and Brenda Dunn at Princeton did their experiments with, the random event generator work, you know, where they used the ping pong balls that drop down into the slots. Do you know about that?
I may have heard it, but it doesn't come to mind quite quickly.
Well,
go ahead.
They put out these slots with ping pong balls, like the lottery. And
mm-hmm.
the slots had little pegs that stuck out, and the pegs were fixed so that if the balls were just dropped down in randomly, I mean, something like 10,000 balls, that they would fall in a bell-shaped curve with the peak at the top and then going down on the sides.
Okay.
Well, when they got someone to place in, like a yogi or anybody, I mean, they did 10,000 of these experiments.
Uh-huh.
When they got someone, and they would do it one person at a time, the balls would all shift if they said, we want you to think that all the balls will fall to the left. Well, okay. All the balls did fall to the left, but they didn't just fall sharply left. They made a very subtle, gradual turn that you had to put together all the readings, I mean, all of the experiments, and put the data together in a computer to be able to see that there was a subtle shift to the left of all of these balls.
Okay.
So when we do think intention, depending on how the cohesive your field is,
right.
How centered are you when you're doing this? How
right.
scattered are your thoughts? Are you angry? Are you sad? Are you
right.
rushed?
Right.
That's going to make a difference.
An emotional impact, right.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's going to vary greatly with other people, and if you're one of these kind of people that you're not grounded and you're not centered, then it may not work for you at all. And another thing is Roy Scruggs, he's a friend of mine that was a physicist on the Apollo project. We were talking about this just last week. If you're thinking a thought that you, let's say that you need to do a birthday party for your child
right.
or whatever it is, whatever the thought is.
Right.
But you're in a bad mood. That thought is obviously a good thought, you know.
Yeah.
But here you're thinking words.
Right.
But if your consciousness is really based on emotions, because that's
right.
what the electromagnetic field is. How do you feel? Not the words, because we could say the devil, and that could actually mean God in some language, and you know, in some other language for the same word. I mean, it's a linguistics issue. But if you're thinking a good thought that you want to do, but you're in a bad mood, it's
mm-hmm.
the same thing as having a negative thought.
Well, yes.
And we know that when you think a thought, it transmits and
right.
receives
it's like a
at
sender
the same
and a receiver.
Time, like a revolving door, right.
Right.
I mean, it's not just woo-woo. There's quantum mechanics underneath
right.
that, you know. So you got to be careful of what you're thinking and how you feel when you're
at the
thinking
time you're thinking
things.
It.
Because if you don't, then it's not going to work as well. You've got to be in that observer position to make it work optimally.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to be. And detachment, I guess, is a word I would use. You call it observer. I call it detachment mode,
mm-hmm.
An emotional detachment from the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're saying the same thing, but we're using slightly different words. But the wonderful thing about being us is we have the ability to read minds. And it's a lot easier to communicate when you know somebody and you are doing well together, because you just, you know, if you use the words, you're going to get tripped up with the words. If you're using your mind to communicate, it makes it so much easier. And
mm-hmm.
the other thing, when you move along these lines, that's something else I want to bring up. You find as you move into this state of conscious awareness in the now, you find that a lot more of your own innate abilities and awarenesses also begin to increase and expand.
I think, I tell you, I've changed a little bit on what I think about that in the past year. You
okay,
know,
go ahead, because it's been true for me. But let me hear your observation.
It's been true for me, too, up until the past year, and something different's happened to me.
Okay.
I think that the gradients of consciousness fall into play right here. You
okay.
know, for a while after this happened to me, you know, it happened spontaneously in a moment.
Uh-huh.
And for a while, all I cared about was, you know, trying to use my abilities to hear and try to use my abilities to do medical intuition and to
uh-huh.
use my abilities for whatever thing that I needed to do it for.
Right.
But something's happened in the last year.
Okay.
And I've gotten to the point where I've become a lot more reclusive.
Reclusive?
Because I'm more in that non-dual state of mind now.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's no thing to fix, because we're not really here to begin with. We're in a dream state. So what does it matter what I fix?
Uh-huh.
I found that I have less and less to say to the world, because I'm not going to change it anyway. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just gotten to the point where I just simply be a lot more, and I don't think about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
yeah, you're moving into a state of what I would call a state of now. You're becoming
yeah.
more the philosopher.
Maybe so, you know.
That's you're moving into a higher state of consciousness when you do that. Because the emotions are so much involved in the physical manifest
That's
world.
Right. That's right.
That when you move farther into the state of awareness and the now, what happens is you become more detached. That doesn't mean to say that you aren't as caring and loving as before, that you aren't as spiritually oriented. In fact, you are indeed more spiritually oriented, but that you are not putting ego attachment to whatever is happening.
That's pretty well said.
Okay.
Because I still have tremendous amounts of compassion.
Absolutely.
But the empathy thing is different now because
yes.
I understand.
You're not putting yourself in there.
Yeah.
You're removing the ego is what you've done, darling.
Yeah.
And that is a sure sign of spiritual growth. When you are able to remove your own ego and allow yourself to watch yourself go by as a thing.
And what I have to say to the people about this,
yes.
For God's sake, listen to me and just jump right up where I am and don't have to go through what I went through to get here.
Well, that's lovely, darling, but guess what?
Do what the teacher says and not what the teacher does. You know?
Indeed, but you know, each person must learn this for themselves.
Yeah.
Some will learn by observing. Some will do both. But most are going to end up having to experience because this is the way the earth.
Well, they don't have to. I mean,
they don't have to. No,
listen
it's just
carefully.
Like, you know, you tell
you
your
don't
kid
have to do this.
If you don't follow the recipe for this cake, you're not going to end up with something edible. Well, the kid tries to make the recipe without leaving some of the ingredient out or changing it, and they don't end up with a cake.
Right.
You know, so it's a matter of we all have to experience. I mean, we'd all like life to be a lot easier for everybody we know. I know I would, especially for my children. But the thing is, they came here in an agreement to learn and to do certain things. And my agreement was to allow them to learn it.
Yeah.
I can't shut them up to not learn it. They have to be out in the world, much as I did and much as you have.
You know,
so,
it's like telling your child,
yes.
Don't touch the hot stove.
Yeah.
You know, in this circumstance right here, don't touch the hot stove. Just do what we say and try it for 6 weeks and see what happens to your life.
That's right.
In the moment. And when I, you know, a lot of people say, well, what is that? I don't understand how to do it.
Uh-huh.
Because people use that phrase so much, you know, get in the moment.
Well, yeah.
For me, when I first started trying to do this, I had a technique that I would use.
Okay.
And I would draw up this, I would pull up this black box rectangle in front of my eyes.
Okay.
And I wouldn't think black box because then I'd think about a black box.
Naturally. It's like the elephant in the living room. Don't think about it.
Right. So I would think about, you know, void, that there was nothing there, and I wouldn't let any words, any pictures, any symbols, any numbers, any colors, nothing in that black box. And it was hard to do.
Absolutely.
You know, it took a long time to be able to hold that black box while I'm laying in there in the bed trying to go to sleep.
Right.
For 15 minutes.
Sure.
But now I can call upon it at will. And, you know, anytime I start feeling myself getting stressed out, I can call it. If I think about it,
mm-hmm.
I can call that black box up, and immediately it goes away. And a good example of that is I've been pretty much in bliss for 3 or 4 months now.
Right.
And the other day I was sitting at work and I decided, you know what, I'm going to call this friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in about 2 years. So
mm-hmm.
I did. And it was like 8 o'clock in the morning and I called him and he was at home and he was asleep. And I start thinking, I mean, this thought just dropped into my mind. I don't know where it came from.
Why?
Because it was just a random thought. How come he gets to be at home asleep at 8 o'clock in the morning and be a millionaire? Why can't I do that?
And be what?
And be a millionaire. Why can't I be asleep at home in the bed at 8 o'clock in the morning and be a millionaire?
Okay.
So that it was just one thought. It dropped in like one of those little cartoon blurbs, you know.
Right.
And so then I thought, well, you've been at home in bed at 8 o'clock many mornings. And I thought, after that, I thought, but I'm not a millionaire. So about that time, he said, I said, well, what have you been doing? He said, oh, my God, my business is falling apart, and I've been having to work 10 hours a day. And I thought, you know, look what just happened. And right when I first, when that thought dropped down in my head, why come I can't be at home at 8 o'clock in the morning and be a millionaire, this funny sensation just swept over my body,
uh-huh.
like a chill or something. But it wasn't a chill. It was depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it was instantaneous. My whole body just felt depressed.
Right.
And I thought, uh-oh, I could hold on to this thought and get depressed because put to bed, sleep at 8 o'clock in the morning, and be a millionaire like my friend for the next 6 months.
Right.
But I immediately recognized what I was doing, so I go, uh-oh, let's put this one out of our head. And so
right.
Immediately switched thoughts
mm-hmm.
to something else, and within about 5 minutes, that depression was gone.
Gone, yeah.
It was just gone. And then he said, I have to work 10 hours a day, and I started laughing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that was the payback that I got for letting it go.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense, you know?
Yeah, it does make sense.
He really wasn't laying in there in bed happy at 8 o'clock in the morning, a millionaire. He was now having to work 10 hours a day.
Right. And I understand that. I have, some of the things that you try... Thoughts are such subtle distractions. I think the word seduction,
mm-hmm.
comes to mind in these situations because our thoughts do seduce us if we're not careful.
It's become addictive, you know, because it is we know that emotion is a chemical process.
Sure.
And it becomes an addictive cycle, so you can't help but do it if you let it go on too long, and then...
This is how we were raised also, is it not?
It can do
well. I mean, this is the kind of process that was going on around us, you know, from the time we were little. And you can look back on your life when you become aware of it and see exactly how this came about and what happened. So part of it is the fascination of, ladies and gentlemen, there is a way out, okay? And it takes a little bit of time, it takes a little bit of effort, comparatively speaking, but it can be done, and you can retrain your mind to move into the now with positive thoughts. And that's the other thing you want to do, is to ensure the positive thoughts in each person's life. I catch myself many times a day pulling back into some thoughts, and I'm saying, old pattern, reprogram, delete, you know, move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's so funny because you don't realize how many years you have of this until it starts sneaking out the back door because you have the front door locked.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, I have to worry about and plan what I'm going to do for my retirement, or I have to worry about and plan what I'm going to do next week, or what am I... You know, how am I going to fit this in my schedule?
Uh-huh.
You know, the point is no thought.
Right.
You don't have to plan. You do what's in the moment, and the rest will take care of
itself. Well, that's part of it. Is I know my mother constantly pounded, you've got to plan for your retirement. You've got to plan. You've got to plan ahead. You'll be stuck with no money. You'll be stuck, you know, on charity, whatever, you know, whatever the prattle was. And, that has been a very difficult one because when she died, of course, all of that hit me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me quite a while to, number one, I missed her so much because she was my best friend and my fan and, you know, fan club. And
mm-hmm.
we were just close, not just mother and daughter, but I truly loved the woman and I truly enjoyed her as a human being. And just a whole bunch of emotions go through me when I even think of her now because I love her so much. And the thing is, I found after a while that I was really playing her program in my head
mm-hmm.
over and over with regard to poverty. And I had to break away from that thought process in order to free myself to move on in life. And it was very hard. It was exceedingly hard. It still is. It still comes up and nips me on the behind every once in a while. You know, I find myself tripping in my thought process with regard to this life that we lead. But both of us, and it's fascinating because, ladies and gentlemen, we really haven't talked very much. We both of us, about the same time, have come on a parallel path to move forward. Wouldn't you say? From what we've been discussing this evening?
I think so, yeah.
Now, isn't that fascinating that each of us are coming to the same point in time? Both of us are coming in ways that are respectful to us and which make most sense to us that will lead us to where we are heading, which is enlightenment, ascension, if you will, totality of awareness, however you care to term it. And for me, this is part of the fascinating journey that you have so many ways of getting to where you want to go. All you have to have is the desire to do this and to free yourself and be, and the universe always gives you an answer. Sometimes it's not an answer you want to accept right away, but believe me, when you really and truly turn your sight upward, or inward is perhaps a better word, to the great vastness of who you are that lives within you, the journey is never ending and is absolutely fascinating.
Well, see, you know, a lot of the, something that everyone should consider is when we say, where do you want to go? You know, what is it that you want? Peace? And if that's the truth, then the thing is to let go of the materialism and just, because you're not going to make it happen anyway. If materialism is meant to come to you, we don't have complete free will. It'll be placed there. You know, $1 million will drop out of a plane, or somebody will offer you this amazing job. You cannot make it happen if that's not your path. And you don't always know your path. So the best thing to do is simply observe what's going on and accept it as being that perfect thing.
And allow it to be. Allow it to grow. Because if you truly have needs, they are going to be met. And if you have desires, and this is what you have agreed to when you came into this life, it will come to pass. But if you worry it like a dog, like a bone, you're going to find that you lose or push away what you're striving for. Have you found that to be true, Eva?
Well, I think certainly negative thought makes something happen.
Yeah, you can drive away what you truly desire because you worry so much about it. You don't allow the universe to give you what you would desire, what you would want and love. I'm thinking, for example, of this man in West Virginia who won a lottery. He won several $100 million, okay? Then he had his own business flourishing before that, wasn't hard up, but he let the business go or sold it or whatever. You know, he just started running around. One time he was carrying $315,000 in an unlocked briefcase, and he got mugged, and it was stolen from him. He won another lottery of hundreds of thousands of dollars. A couple weeks ago, he declared bankruptcy because all of the money was gone.
Amazing.
You know, and you think, well, how the heck could somebody possibly go through it was somewhere around $200-300 million. $100 million.
Well, I just can't stress enough that, you know, be happy with what you have.
Well,
whatever that thing is,
yeah,
accept it,
yeah,
rather than fight it, because then you can move on to the next thing. You're not going to move on to the next thing until that thing is accepted, whatever it is.
Right. Well, also the thing is, because he did not grow, because he just went into a place and thought he could just exist where he was, part of his lesson was to have and then to lose. Not have and hold, but have and to lose. And that's probably a lesson that his soul needed to learn.
Well,
and you think yourself, oh boy, I would never have lost it. Well, you possibly would or possibly wouldn't, because each of us has a different lesson that we are here to learn. And until we step into the other person's shoe, we're really not sure how we're going to make it.
That's right.
Or how we're going to handle it.
That's true.
It's so easy to waste and to judge others. And again, that's a subtle form of judging, isn't it?
Well, you know, everything's judgment to some degree in duality.
Yes.
Because everything either, it's a derivative of either love or hate. It either is or it's not. It's either on or it's off.
Right.
So you have to be able, you have to get to the point where you're willing to stay neutral on whatever it is, even if it's in your own life.
Exactly. That's a fascinating part for me. And at any rate, there are other things that you're involved with, too, and I wanted to bring some of them up if you wanted to, because we're coming down to the wire. You know, we've spent almost an hour on the phone.
Yeah, I know it.
Isn't this? I just love having interviews with you, Eva.
Oh, thanks, Julie.
They're so informative. Why don't you give me people the information of how they can contact you and when your show is on, so if people wish to hear more, they can tune in to you.
Well, my show is called The Infinite Consciousness, and it's on every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And
okay. This
week, like I said, I have Henry Stapp coming on. I've been excited about this interview. I've had him scheduled for about 6 months, and I think that Henry and Bill Tillard, I think I've introduced them recently, and they're going to get together, and I think the two of them is going to make some kind of conscious leap in quantum mechanics and change something, because Henry's one of the most respected physicists in the world, and he's about to point his finger at conventional science and say you're wrong. Thought is real, and thought makes things happen.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, my site is my website is evaher.com. My email address, if you want to email a question, is evaher@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you.
Oh, how wonderful. Mine is Multiple Pathways, Inc. That's my website, www.multiplepathwaysinc.com. My email is psychicworlds, with a capital P, S-Y-C-H-I-C, worlds, capital W, O-R-L-D-S, 4, the numeral 4, at AOL.com. And you can reach me in my office at area code 202-387-2080, which seems we have a few minutes more, and so let's continue on with our discussion. But these are the places that you can contact us. We welcome your comments, your questions, and you know, we're both here to serve, and we're both here also to manifest the best in our life that we can, and to walk our walk. And
to
enjoy life to its fullest. I'm sorry, Eva?
I said try to walk or talk anyway. Do the best
Take out the word try and say we do. Don't put the word try in there. Do it. Just say we do it.
I just have a thing about humility, you know.
Humility is fine, but here's where my lesson comes in. You can be too humble.
I just don't want people to think that I think that I'm perfect because I make mistakes.
I don't think anybody thinks we're perfect. I'm almost willing to walk to the bank on that one, darling.
But we
are aware, yes, and that we deserve to be praised. We have to tell ourselves that we love who we are. At least that's my opinion, that we love who we are and the person that we are becoming each and every day. It's important to know that you can value yourself, because it is important to value who you are, because we are special beings. Everyone is a special being. Every soul is a creative force. Every soul deserves to be honored and loved.
You know, I
just
said that to my kids, my little boy standing right here. Derek, what's
Pardon?
The most important thing in the world?
God.
That's right.
Mama,
what?
God is the most important thing, he said.
There you go.
God.
Except that I would consider God not quite a thing, but I love his sentiment. I love his sentiment, and I agree with him.
He says consciousness.
Yes.
Consciousness is the most important thing.
Yes.
So
that's very sweet. I'm glad out of the mouths of babe there comes great wisdom. And at any rate, I'm so glad that is he listening to the show tonight?
No, he's just standing here beside me.
Just standing there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. But anything else that you want to bring about before we have to say goodnight, my dear?
Well, I always like to end a show on my show saying, if you could have one thing to say to the world that you thought would or could make a difference, what would that be? And so I think I'd like to answer that question tonight, because I never get to answer that.
Okay.
And my thing is, quantum mechanics has proven that there's no distinction or no separation between us and anything else in existence.
Yes.
We are one.
Yeah.
The only thing that separates us from anything else is the speed of the atoms of which our individuality vibrates.
Mm-hmm.
So that which you do for another, you do for yourself.
Right.
So agape, my friends, and thanks for having me on with you today.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless you, my dear. I am so looking forward to talking to you again. And again, I'm Phyllis Pricer for the Higher Consciousness. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. And don't forget to listen on Sunday evening to Eva's show. She's got a fabulous guest on. I know it's going to be a stimulating and exciting one. And I wish you all the best, Eva, and let's get in touch. Meanwhile, because we just enjoy each other's company.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And
stop there, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. Good night,
good night
all,
dear.
And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.